Welcome to the DJ Danny Show. I'm your host, DJ Danny. Before I get the show officially started, I would like to just let everyone know that every 2 weeks, Hamilton Radio will be broadcasting at Friendly's on Washington Boulevard in Robbinsville, New Jersey for the karaoke night. Bring your kids out every Monday night from 6 to 8. If you sing, you get a ticket, which takes $4 off your kids' meal, which is $1.99. And thank you. My guest today is Marvin Cruz. From Marvin Cruz Productions, I have CJ here, and I have my official co-host, Angelica. Hi. Ange, are you on mic?
I think so.
Okay, because I couldn't hear you. All right, so, hello, how are you?
Pretty good. It's a pleasure to
come
be here.
Come a little closer.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. I'm excited. How are you doing?
Me.
Last time you were here, Gollum, I haven't, like, you know.
Yes, well.
What, last year?
Last year, yeah, it was a while. But anyway. Finally, we got Marvin on here.
We did.
It's about time. So
I actually remember the first show I had him. He was talking about you because you produced his album.
I do remember, yes.
And like all his music and stuff. And he was like, you need to have Marvin Cruz on here. And I'm like, who's Marvin Cruz? Then every single post I had on Facebook when I was like, I need a guest, he kept tagging Marvin Cruz, Marvin Cruz, Marvin Cruz. So finally, I contacted you and it worked. So that's good because I really didn't know who Marvin Cruz was at all. Did you want to introduce yourself?
As you already know, my name is Marvin Cruz. Mm-hmm. I'm a music producer, musician, human being. Yeah, so it's pretty much just me.
Which is the best part. How did you get started in producing, and what gave you the motivation to stay with it?
I started back in, believe it or not, I think it was eighth grade. It was like 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I guess I've always had a passion for music since a very early age and stuff. So up until the end of 2008 is when I kind of decided that I wanted to start producing my own music. And I started with electronic music and stuff. And mm-hmm. since then, I kind of ventured on to different genres. And that's where I ended up being where I am today.
What kind of genres did you first experiment with? And which ones did you like exactly, like so, fit you the way you wanted it?
Yeah, so when I first started doing music, I was doing this genre called hardstyle. It's a subgenre of EDM, which at the time really wasn't popular at all mm-hmm. here in the United States. It was still just like a European thing at
was
the
it
time.
It wasn't dubstep, was it?
No, it was okay. It was way before dubstep, way before like all that came to the States. And like I really didn't get a lot of people noticing my music at the time because nobody was listening to that mm-hmm. kind of music. But I guess over time, I kind of transitioned into more mainstream production.
What other producers, songwriters, and or artists do you see in your primary inspirations?
Well, my musical inspirations, they basically come from really unexpected places, not really with the kind of artists that I work with at the moment, but mm-hmm. I guess Pink Floyd, The Doors, those are some of my favorite bands. In terms of producers, I guess Lex Luger, Timbaland, those are some of the greats that kind of inspired me to start making my own productions.
What age did you start mixing?
I was probably like 13 years old.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
When you first learned, like, did you teach yourself, or you had to like learn?
Yeah, it was all self-taught, just trial and error, basically.
When you first started, what did you officially do? Like, did you do some beats or?
At first, it was just mainly remixes of popular EDM songs, and from there, as I learned about like the production programs and everything, I started making my own stuff. So it was probably about like a couple months into when I first started making music.
What songs?
There was this one song, it was called Power of the Mind, which
I feel like I've heard of that. Who's that by?
Yeah, it's by Headhunters, some like EDM DJ. He's like huge over
Chris would
in,
know
like,
about that.
Yeah, he's like huge over in Hungary and stuff. And I made like a remix and put it up on YouTube way back in 2008. And I guess that was my first ever like song.
And how did you feel, you know, when you first?
To be honest, I knew I sucked. But,
I love that you're honest about it.
I knew I sucked, but I kind of stayed really consistent with everything and there was times where I felt like I kind of wanted to give up and not do it anymore because production takes a lot of patience. Like,
that was my next question. Did you have any doubts in your mind that you weren't going to be successful?
Oh yeah, many, many. I mean, initially I'm a musician before I'm a producer. So I've been playing guitar for about 10 years. So that's where really my love for music comes from. But in terms of production, I never really aimed to make it into like the mainstream or work with any of these artists and stuff. Like, I just wanted to do it for the love of it.
Well, how about you say for your musician, if you, you know, didn't aim for successful, what did you do to prevent yourself from not giving up?
I guess just hearing a lot of different music, and it really just my passion for music is what kept me going, because it's just something that I can't step away from. It's kind of who I am, I guess. Music is really my first love, and although at times like I kind of doubted myself, I still kept doing it, whether it was playing guitar or making beats.
Well,
and stuff.
We all doubt ourselves now and then.
Yeah, of course.
You just gotta learn how to like outgrow that and try to like stay positive in with what you're doing.
Of course.
Now, tell me about your first song, well, the untitled one. when did you do it? How long did it take?
That first song, I think it took about 10 minutes to make. Sometimes it ranges like anywhere from like 10 minutes to a couple hours. It really depends how in the mood or inspired I am to make it. But that one specifically, it took about 10 minutes to make.
And what kind of beats is it exactly? I've heard some of it, but I didn't want to spoil it for the show.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was like about 3 years in the making. So I had a different title for the album. And the official title was going to be Dedication, but I just felt like that was a little cliche, and I went to work on it, and it was about 3 years of just trial and error and picking out the best sounds and the most innovative kind of production that really wasn't out there at the moment. So that's why it kind of delayed so long, but I'm really happy with the end result, and the record label really, really loved it and everything too.
Would you like to play that song, you know, so we can give a taste of everyone what they're listening
sure.
to?
This is Untitled Documents, intro.
Intro, right?
Yeah, correct.
Now, how long was that song?
I believe that song was about a minute and 45 seconds, if I'm not mistaken, or something along those lines.
You want to give out the number?
Yeah, if you have any questions for me, any comments or anything, you could call 609-800-1003. Once again, that is 609-800-1003, and give us a call.
What would you say your genre of music is?
That's pretty hard to.
Does it change?
It's pretty hard to pinpoint. I try as best I can to stay away from one genre, but I guess you could say that most of my popular productions, I guess, would be mainstream trap, which is basically what's in on the radio at the moment. So I try to stay current.
We all love mainstream, though. She used to hate mainstream more than anything in the world.
That is actually true, and I'm embarrassed to say so.
But mainstream always works with, like, anything.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's exactly why I produce.
And you gain more followers and hits and likes and everything, because they're like, oh my gosh, you're singing the same song that I know, but you did a better cover of it, and so forth. So whoever, you know, does that at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the main point, I guess, why I make music is to really make music that appeals to a wide range of audiences. And I felt like that genre of music, rather than electric dance music or anything like that, would appeal to more people.
Tell me about the musician, you, because like I said, I didn't know like that you sing and everything. Course. So how many years have you been singing?
In combination with playing guitar, which like I'm self-taught, I picked up the guitar in like fourth grade. This is about 2004. So since then, I've been playing guitar, and I've been singing as well. I write my own music, and I haven't really released any of my music in terms of my guitar side, but I have given a couple of sneak previews next year.
That's good. Like teases and stuff, definitely. Yeah. That's good.
Next year, I'm actually working on an acoustic album. Which I think is going to be pretty good and totally different from what this first album was.
We definitely cannot wait to hear that. That'll be really, you know, mouth-watering. Oh. Now, CJ.
Yes.
When you can come close to the mic now. When you first met him, you guys met in school, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Aww. So how did you combine to do the album?
All right, well.
Come closer, hon.
It was a dark and stormy night.
No, not. That was from another thing. No. Anyway, actually, well, we've known each other. We knew each other on and off throughout Creps. Like, did you go?
Yeah,
to Creps?
I think it was. We've known each other since about 2006. Like, that's when we first met.
And so we knew each other on and off. Like, we'd pass in the halls, and but like wouldn't think much. It didn't take until like high school, and then we didn't really start talking like a lot more until senior year when we had our English class together with the infamous misspelled Jira. at one point, like I was like, I made this one rap song a while back, and people liked it, and it was a parody.
Is that the one on Facebook?
Yes, that's.
Do you remember the name of it? I forgot.
The Real Slim CJ. That's the one we did.
I remember.
I remember that.
Uploading the video.
People. Yeah. So we decided, okay, you know what? He's like, hey, why don't you come by the studio at some point? We'll record it. And I'm like, hey, I'm down. So we go in the studio, we record it, and next thing you know, I put it on Facebook. I get like over 100 likes on that video.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I have him to thank, and it was great. And that was when we were like, you know what? Why stop there? And so we decided to create a parody rap album, and which actually we sold copies.
That's good.
Was
it free copies or you sold them?
Yeah, we actually sold the physical hard copies of this. We spent a whole 3 month summer just working. I believe at least three or 2 days a week, just recording endlessly. And we have tracks in there from country all the way out to mainstream pop. So it was really fun creating it because it was different from what I was doing at the moment. I was recording a lot of just rappers. And there wasn't really anything that allowed me to step outside the same comfort zone of just regular rap music. But this is a pretty innovative project, and it taught me a lot about my abilities, I guess, in terms of versatility.
Yeah, even the gym teachers bought the album, too. So.
Are any of those still in existence? Like, can anyone buy that anywhere now, just for my own personal
torture? We could burn a copy and sell
what
it.
What we can do is...
give them away on the DJ Danny show.
We can.
The next caller wins it for free.
There you go.
Yeah. Listen to the next question. Follow the answer. Call in. Say the answer. What we said. And then you win the CD.
There you go.
Signed by Marvin and CJ.
Yes, and this was completely produced by myself, and a couple of tracks produced by CJ as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is good, you know, because you guys are like friends and you work together. Mm-hmm. What studios have you produced at?
Quite honestly, a lot of people don't know this, but ever since I started creating my own music, I never had any fancy equipment or anything like that.
Oh my goodness, really?
Most of my songs, like one that I have with Soulja Boy, which is at almost like 4 million views, the song is called Turn Up, and I made that song with like some Ninja Turtle headphones that I bought at a garage sale and the laptop. So that was, it was pretty funny to see people's reactions. Like, whoa, like, dude, where did you do, what did you do with all this? And when you see like the truth behind it, it's just like a laptop and headphones. It's really like, just
all the work. Did you have GarageBand?
No, I,
what did you use?
Yeah, just I used a popular program for productions called FL Studio. That's one that mainly a lot of the rap producers use these days. But it was very cool to be able to tell people that I made it in with such short resources, and it kind of inspired other people to really make their own music as well, which was cool.
That's amazing. Now, do you work solely as a producer? Do you engineer as well?
I do. I do, actually. I think I started engineering back in 2012.
That kind of engineering or different?
What I would consider engineering is like a live recording of rappers and like mixing audio and stuff like that. So
I got you.
Yeah, so totally I do different. That and like mastering and vocals
and stuff
like that.
This one's the cheaper and easier version because you just push the mics up, push them down, turn them off.
That takes a lot of talent, though. You have to really know.
I started off as the engineer before I worked up.
It's not easy. It's not easy. A lot of people think music is easy. It's not easy. Anything from the background recording to
just owning a station as well.
Exactly.
It's not easy.
It's a lot of work. Music takes a lot of patience.
Now, how can we find you?
Well, apart from Googling, you could just Google Marvin Cruz Productions. If you're just bored and you want to check out my stuff, you could go to www.marvincruzproductions.com.
What made you want to Marvin Cruz Productions?
I guess everyone else had a typical producer name, like something Beats or whatever.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah, like something or like some other kind of name, which is like very common. So I wanted to set myself apart. I was just like, hey, why not use my full name? You know, it's just short and sweet and it's an easy way to find me. I didn't want anything with like exclamation marks and like things like that or Z's.
Or underscore.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my gosh,
so,
I hate those.
Yeah, it's...
Parentheses.
It's better to go the simple way most of the time.
So you made it Productions because your production company.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you use it. Do you use that for your musician name as well, or is it just?
Sometimes I confuse myself in terms of like what I do. In terms of the name, I guess Marvin Cruz Productions is the actual productions of myself, because sometimes I do release singles under the name Marvin Cruz Productions, and like this album is under the name of Marvin Cruz. But it's pretty much the same thing.
Oh, so that's not under Productions?
Yeah, it's under Marvin Cruz, I guess.
Oh, okay, because that has Productions in it, though.
Yeah, it does.
So that should be Marvin Cruz Productions.
You're right.
Then the single should just be Marvin Cruz.
You're right.
Speaking of your name, didn't you say, like, when you were setting up the album and you sent it through, like, they messed it up?
Oh, God, yes, I remember that. So,
a story?
Yes, this is a pretty funny story. The album was actually set to be released August 12th, mm-hmm. But we had some problems with the record company as well as the distribution company. They uploaded my album on like a couple days earlier than I actually wanted to, and they spelled my name Main Cruz Productions, like M-A-I-N. So I was just like, oh.
That's not you.
I wrote them an angry email. I was like, you guys. We screwed my name up, and it was pretty funny, but they worked it out.
They
they changed it, so
that's
it was great.
Good. They sticked with the professional title.
Yes.
What song would you like to play?
I guess Humble would be a
Humble
good song.
Was number two, right?
Humble was, yeah, I think it was number two, or number four. Number four.
You should know this.
There's
this
so
album.
Many. Honestly, like, I really don't like listening to my own music, but...
oh, come on, you got to. You're on the radio.
Yeah.
We're going to play Humble.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sometimes, and it's not that easy to understand. Oh yeah, I know. But I have those small days when the darkness inside day aches over control.
This is Charles Arita of Charles Arita and the Mischief, and you are listening to HamiltonRadio.net.
So, what was her name?
That is Selah Sue.
And where is she from again?
I believe...
Said that off air.
Yeah, I believe she is from Finland, if I'm not mistaken. I connected with her way back during, I think it was 2012, through MySpace Music, before...
Oh my gosh, MySpace.
Yeah.
That's so old, I never even had one in my life.
It was pretty interesting back in the day. She was still indie. I think now she's on Atlantic Records. If that's wrong, then she probably switched labels by now to something bigger. But she's really great. You guys should check her out.
Do you still keep in touch with her? Like, are you still friends?
Or? No, unfortunately not. But I did get the okay from her to bring her on the album. So that was a while back, since I told her that I was making it way back in the day. So... but I haven't talked to her since.
So when you produce, do you use live instruments, or do you program everything?
It's a combination of both. Lately, I've been encouraged by a lot of different artists to include some guitar and some other live instruments and stuff. So as of lately, yes, I have been incorporating some live instrumentation into my stuff.
So you do use both?
Yeah,
most
correct.
Likely.
Yeah.
Now, if you could only use one, which one would it be?
It would probably be, believe it or not, live instruments, because...
They sound a lot better.
Yeah, they do. Totally.
And you could tell that it's, like, if it's EDM, you could tell it's not live instruments.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's, like, all programmed. And then they add, like, the beats that drop, and they go up, and they drop, and so forth.
Yeah, of course.
My next question was, how did you first connect with Soulja Boy and Chief Keef and Little B and so forth?
Okay, so I guess the first person that I connected with was Max B.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a rapper from Harlem, New York. And from there, I connected, by myself. It's not like that they were connected between Max B and Little B, but I found out through Little B on MySpace Music way back in 2008. And since then, I had like been showing support to his music, and it was way before I even thought of making any rap beats. But I just really enjoyed his music and the message that he delivered through there. And I was lucky enough to produce a lot of songs for him. I think we're at number 8 now, so it was great really making good music with him. Yeah.
And so, is that how you connected with everyone else then?
Yeah, like actually, with Soulja Boy? I guess Soulja Boy had heard my work with Little B, or had not, I'm not sure. But he did reach out in 2013, and he, like, God bless you.
Thank you. That never happened on air before. I'm sorry.
We're all human. He reached out to me, I believe it was in 2013, and he, like, mentioned me on Twitter. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And he told me that he was in the studio and wanted me to send some beats, which I did immediately. So it was pretty cool. And since from him, that's how I connected with Chief Keef and Fredo Santana and all those other guys. So
did he fly you out?
We did collaborate in 2013, yes, for that song Turn Up. So that was great. I would like to work on some more music with him soon.
You definitely probably are, because you said you're going there next year.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be in the West Coast next month. So maybe me and him will link up on there. Maybe not. It's kind of more of a leisure trip.
It depends on, you know, the weather and stuff. Ange, did you have a question? Did you want to say anything?
Do you have any Lil B stories you can share that aren't too confidential?
Yeah, of course. I guess, I guess a really good Lil B story would go back to 2012 when we first kind of like started heavily working. I had emailed him some beats, and I guess he was really impressed with like what he had heard, which I was extremely humbled by. And we talked, and he just gave me a lot of really, really interesting pointers and advice in terms of the music industry and doing everything. What he said to me was, to make making good music a priority initially, and that the fame and money and all that stuff would come on its own through hard work and by making good music. So just to basically place music as more of an importance rather than getting famous like most people do these days.
That is so deep.
Yeah.
That's honestly so beautiful. Now, how long have you been doing this, most likely?
I think, well, I'm at 7 years now, about 7 years.
This is producing, right? Yeah, this isn't the engineer, or yeah, this isn't the musician.
Yeah, this is just music-wise, it's 7 years. I mean, with producing, it's like 7 years. Music in its own, probably like 10 or 11 years.
That was for your musician, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when you, because you said you're going to release the album next year.
Yes, at some point next year.
Is it going to have 10 tracks?
I believe it will have at least 10. Yeah, I aim to have at least 10 tracks. And these are all going to be acoustic, original lyrics, and just acoustic guitar and singing by myself. And I'll probably have a couple of features on there by a couple of different people.
How long does it take to make a 10 tracks album?
Well, it depends really what kind of release I want to do.
Not musician, producer.
Oh, okay. So producer. If, well, for me, I guess it takes a couple of years. But if I really wanted to, just release a 10 song album, which was requested by me or whatever, I would probably have it done in like a week.
So your album.
Yeah.
How long did it take to release that? That's 16 tracks, or how many tracks is it?
Yeah, 18. 18.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's 18. So.
My goodness.
Yeah, that was like 3 years because I kind of had to be really picky. Since it was going to be my first album, which I was blessed by Amdisc's Futures Reserve record label, which is based out there in the UK. They heard it, and it was still a very early version of it, but they loved it, and they were immediately on board as early as 2013, and that's when really I began picking and choosing different songs and making new productions for this album. I wanted it to be like as good as possible.
Well, it's your first album,
mm-hmm.
So you want a good twist on it, and you want good feedback.
Yeah.
You don't want anything negative.
Yeah.
Nothing negative. Would you like to play another song?
Yeah. I forgot what the next
I know song one be, was Love Thug.
Yes. The other song that we're going to play, I believe, is Lone Thug.
So, Lone Thug. Oh, yeah. I thought I said Love Thug. Okay. What's that one about?
That one is basically I wanted to capture a really classic 90s hip-hop type of feel to it. So this is kind of like, you know, sometimes we feel alone and stuff, but we can still be gangsters.
Love that. All right, we're going to play Lone Thug. And we're back to the DJ Danny Show on HamiltonRadio.net. Stream HR2 with Marvin Cruz and CJ and Ange.
Hi.
Hello there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hello.
So you guys are talking about a movie score. Give me more information about it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The movie is going to be an animated movie directed by Mike Bushido, which is a very close friend of mine, the father of artist, the main artist that I'm working with at the moment. His name is Nine Callisto. He's a 15-year-old rap prodigy.
Nice.
He's extremely amazing. He's worked with artists like Space Ghost Perp, Amber London, and Gangsta Boo from 3-6 Mafia. He's a very talented young man, and very excited to actually go into a different route of production, which would be for movie scores, which is pretty good. So thank you to him.
And CJ is going to collaborate with you on it?
Yeah, I definitely want to get him on board since that's his strong suit. He's very good with music composition and everything, so it would be great to collaborate with him again.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, just a note to throw out there, Marvin is basically, like, in a way, my mentor for learning how to like navigate all the stuff to do with music and making it. So I have him to thank for helping me move.
When you get that forward. Grammy, make sure you thank him first thing on stage.
maybe he'll be up there with me.
Yes.
Now, what kind of like do you know theme you're gonna go for, or you don't know that yet?
From the little that I was told that I would have a lot of freedom in terms of like what I would do. So I'm really excited about that. I'm just very happy and humbled to even be considered for this. So thank you.
No, you're going to create something different. You're not going to do any of the music you already have.
Yeah, I think right? It's going to be totally from scratch.
Okay, well, that works out perfectly. That's really good. Now, are you excited on working with it?
But of course I am. I mean, movie scores, I listen to movie scores constantly, so.
I know. When you were on this show, you played them like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
I forget like some of them were, but I remember Ruben was showing me one of them too. Mm-hmm. It was like instrument one.
Yeah, like I encourage as many people as I can to check out all types of movie scores because you never know. Like from just needing some background music for studying to walking around and just having someone to listen to during an adventure. Like Marvin and I have gone on like wacky adventures. We'll go around like something as a close as like a park, and we'll get lost in the woods and we'll just like blast to some music, and it's a really great
sounds film. Like something me and my sister used to do. We used to run to the playground and just blast the music and wake up all the neighbors. It was fun.
Music is great. I love it.
So what do you like to do for fun outside of work, like working or producing?
Yeah,
or singing?
That's something that I'm trying to balance myself. I tend to be sort of a workaholic.
You got to give yourself some fun.
Of course. I mean, music for
besides me. Besides eating, either.
Yeah, I mean, they say business before pleasure, but for me, like, music is pleasure. So basically for fun.
You still work on music, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I play guitar
to take a little break from the...
Do you skateboard?
From the piano. I used to. I used to skate when I was younger, but...
You grew out of it.
Yeah, I kind of grew out of it from so many bumps and bruises. Years.
At least you're honest about that. Yeah, you know how many people are not honest about that, or they could skateboard on their hands or something. It's crazy. So what's it like to work with people who you never thought, you know, like you would work with?
I think that ultimately it's been a huge blessing. And even to this day, when I look back and listen to those tracks with all those major artists, I just feel really inspired, you know. I feel really inspired to work harder. Really anything that comes along with doing what I love is a blessing. So working with any of these new artists or even some of the big names that I've worked with, it's all great, and it's all just for the importance of making good music. That's what I think.
If there was one word you could use to explain your experience so far while working as a music producer, what would it be?
Probably,
I put you on the spot.
as Future would say, sensational.
Sensational. A lot of people also say like cereal, like surreal.
Yes, it is very, very surreal.
I said cereal.
It is very surreal. I agree with you.
And do you have anything you want to say?
Don't put me on the spot now, too. That's his job.
Okay, don't say it like that.
Sorry.
So what's your lifelong dream?
My lifelong dream is, as funny as it sounds or whatever, I mean, I'm kind of living the dream now. I wake up, I kind of just, I do what I love and I make a living out of it. So any day that I can wake up and make even whatever, $10, $20, just off my music is really a blessing. So I'm kind of living the dream now, basically. I think I do need to get out a little more and explore the world.
Yeah. How about Rita's?
Yeah,
anything.
That should be
seriously.
Nice. Anything involving outdoor activities would do me very good right now.
Do you
now.
Not like eat ice cream or go outside anymore?
I mean, I used to work for an ice cream parlor, so
I kind of
hate ice cream.
You're kind of annoyed at ice cream. I understand that.
Yeah,
completely.
But I mean, absolutely. I think my lifelong dream, apart from what I'm already living now, would be to travel again. I traveled a lot over the years, so I definitely want to do more of that. I love traveling and really learning about different cultures and the different lifestyles of people all over the world. It's very great to just educate yourself with the things that are happening around the world.
So if you weren't, you know, like a producer or musician right now, where would you be? What would you do?
I guess I would be like one of those like nerdy computer guys that comes to your house to like fix your computer after you download something that you weren't supposed to download.
Like a virus.
Yeah, I'm very good at, that's actually what I was going to college for when I was going. So that's another one of my passions is computer technology.
Computer
and
whiz.
I just love technology and taking
that's something
apart
we do really big here at the studio too, yeah. Like the station and stuff, because yeah. He has to take care of everything like that, so you know you got to learn.
Yeah, so I'd probably be, if I wasn't producer, I would probably be a computer nerd.
But you seem so happy about it.
Yes, I am, because I love it. I really do.
That's the reason why you got into producing, because yeah. You can use your computer all yes. The time, and then yes. You actually have an excuse, so you can
yeah.
Be on the computer.
So my mom's like, Marvin, get off the computer, and I'm just like, but mom.
You're doing music.
I'm doing something.
Exactly. Now, what steps did you take to advertise and get your business out to the people?
I did just about anything and everything except like going out and like handing out CDs or anything like that. So it was pretty much a lot of trial and error involved with proper promotion, because that's something that a lot of people still try to decipher in the present day, is really how to get your music out there. And it's very hard, but at the same time, it's quite simple, because we all have the tools in our hands available, being that we live in a day and age where the internet is widely available to anybody. So it's basically networking, meeting new people, listening to other people's music, and exchanging feedback from mm-hmm. one person to the other. So that's basically how I got my start, was just listening to a lot of music, giving feedback to different people, and just making fans out of friends.
You are very, very soulful.
Yeah, thank you.
And do you have a name for your fans? Are they just Marvin Cruz's
fans?
Oh, no,
I don't even call them fans. I like, they're my friends. Like, they're, like, I'd call them supporters, I guess. And even at that, I feel kind of, like, shy even saying that, because they're just people that I talk to everybody. Anyone who pays attention or, like, likes my music, I just...
Or contacts you.
Yes, always. I always respond. I always I'm very thankful to
That's
anybody who...
the best way, though, yeah, that is. Because yeah. That actually gains a great, like, confidence you both have together.
Absolutely.
And a great connection, you know, to...
Yeah, so being within reach is very important if you want to make it in the music industry. You have to be willing to collaborate, be willing to get feedback and give feedback.
I wonder what other songs we have. What other songs did you bring?
I believe there was one other song, if I'm not mistaken, in the playlist, because we picked about five, if I'm not sure.
I think we played three.
We played three so far?
Yeah, two more.
I don't know what they're called.
So let's play the next
Everything
song.
And the Life Changing featuring Hammock.
Yes, let's play Life Changing. I like that one.
We'll is it Life Changing?
Yes, it is actually one of the most beautiful songs. And it does have a music video on YouTube, so you could look it up. Marvin Cruz, Life Changing.
We're back. So, what did you say you were going
to
say?
Oh, yeah. I wanted, if anyone's out there listening, to give out some of my different social media things. Also, as well, provide the number again if you have any questions or comments.
Or want to say hi.
Yeah, anything. 609-800-1003. Again, that is 609-800-1003. And you can reach me on Instagram at I Love Marvin Cruz, Snapchat, I Love Marvin Cruz, Twitter is Marvin Cruz 94. And Facebook, Marvin Cruz Productions.
Why is your Twitter name different from I Love Marvin Cruz?
Funny story. I actually, all of them were Marvin Cruz 94 at one point. And what happened was that, I believe it was in 2013, I kind of just left the internet and left all social media for a very long time. So
did you need a break from it?
Yeah, I really did. So I guess that's...
Was it too overwhelming? Or?
It was. And it got to a point where it's just like a trillion messages a second. And like, I'm just more for like making music. And I kind of stepped back. So that's why some of the usernames weren't available anymore, because I had already used them. So that's why those two are different.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, when you were, you know, when you took a break, how did you feel exactly? Did you miss it? You wanted to go back, but you knew that you needed to take a break?
I just, I felt like it was better creatively. It was better creatively to take a step back from music and take a step back from social media. Just to really think about what I wanted to create next, think about really who I was and who I wanted to be.
What else do you bring to the table besides being able to record and produce?
Obviously, the musical aspect of everything with my guitar playing, I really enjoy that. So I think that my knowledge of music and at that level, I guess, at a musician's level, I bring something different to the table from a lot of different producers, because I really just like love making music and tone with live instruments. So I guess that's something I bring to the table that's different.
Now, my next question was, you bring up guitar a lot.
Yeah.
So how many years have you been playing guitar?
It's been about 10 years.
Is that the only instrument you play?
No, actually. I play guitar, a bit of bass, drums, piano, as of now. So those four.
How many years?
Each of them probably an equal amount of when I started back in 2004.
And you playing professionally now, right? Like, you never played them just joking around or learning?
I mean, I started with them just for fun, but over the years, I have had a couple of live guitar performances, and I did play in a band at one point. So.
Oh, really? What was the band?
Yeah, the name of the band was actually, well, their name now is Talonday. I'm not sure if they're still
together.
An integrated group, but at the time, it was called DMC, which it was, like, three of us. It was... Dan Toth, me, Marvin Cruz, and Chris, which is, so that's where the name came about.
Not that Chris, right?
No, a different Chris.
Yeah, I kind of figured that, no problem. But how long were you with that band then?
We were a band for, I believe, almost 2 years. So that was during middle school. We did, like, talent shows, school dances, and everything.
What happened?
So,
why did you guys...
I left. I left to the Dominican Republic. So
that makes a lot of sense.
When I took time off, yeah.
You had to leave, and then they replaced you?
Yeah. They kind of had to. I apologize to them because, like, I kind of left without giving them any proper notice. So that was kind of, like... not so cool of me to do.
So what can we expect from Marvin Cruz Productions in 2016 through 2017?
A lot of great music, a lot of new collaborations.
Who are you looking to collaborate with?
Collaborations. Yeah, well, I was just talking to rapper Lil Reese a couple nights ago, and we were talking about making some new music. So I hope to be collaborating with him in the future. And for my acoustic album, you can expect to have a lot of new names really come up, because I want to definitely bring on board a lot of talented singers and a lot of talented musicians.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Definitely. And the other thing I was going to say was, with you naming all your collab, you know, who you're collabing with and everything, you should always, like, how do you contact them? Do they contact you?
It sometimes varies. Sometimes I'll contact them, and it's all sometimes over the phone, via email. It's all pretty much web-based these days, really, because a lot of the productions that I make easily just email, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, in this case, with the artist that I mentioned before, Non Callisto, he actually flew over from Colorado, and we were able to spend a couple days.
That's nice. So, wait, they fly out, though,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah,
that's
so,
really
yeah,
nice.
So that was awesome. It was great of him to
get that VIP access.
Yeah. It was great for to have an artist, really, by my side, making the creations with me, like I did with CJ back when we made the album. So it's always a great outcome when I get together with an artist, an actual person.
And then, like, it becomes something, too.
Yeah,
and you're
absolutely.
Actually seeing it.
Yeah,
and you're
great.
Like, I can't believe this.
It's absolutely amazing.
Because, like, you're just, you know, like, stunned.
It's amazing.
And you don't know what to say or yeah. anything like that, honestly. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're, like, ending so close to the show. It's 7:54.
Well, it was so great being here. I'm very happy.
Oh, my gosh, it's not over yet. Don't try to leave yet. The show's not over yet. But, I mean, like, with everything that you've... Because you did other radio interviews, right? You said they were, like, all on the internet?
Yeah, they've been mostly web-based interviews.
So you had to call?
Yeah, it was basically over the phone and answering a couple questions. One of the really good interviews that I did this past summer was with my friend Mateo Orellana. He's an interviewer, and he's a really, really great guy. You can check out the interview. It was for the company Medium. You could just look up on Google Medium Marvin Cruz, and you'll find the interview was actually quite in-depth, and we spoke a lot and touched on a lot of the points that I mentioned.
How many hours did they do, or was it, like, different time-based?
It was probably, like, about an hour, hour and a half of, like, a phone conversation. It was just a very...
You get, like, caught in the moment.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The other thing is, when it's over the phone, you don't know who's going to talk first, because normally my guest always rambles on, and I'm just like, I got to ask another question. Like, I can't really, like... Just throw it in there because they're like yada yada yada.
Yeah, what was really cool about that is like it's basically a lot of really deep, open-ended questions because he did do his homework on me, so he had a lot of very interesting questions that left me really kind of thinking to myself, and it was a great experience being able to, and it was really humbling to have somebody take interest enough that they wanted to do an interview with me.
But just having the way that you're talking, like with your positive energy and stuff, if you didn't have that right now, what would you? Like, you have to have it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens if you were carrying negative energy? What do you think would happen with what you were doing? Do you think it would be different vibes, most likely?
Yeah, I think it would have been, it would have gone into a different direction, most likely. But as always, whether I'm in a bad mood or in a good mood, I always try to just be myself.
And that works more than anything. And I've had a great show tonight. I really appreciate you coming on. It was so much fun. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Ange. Honestly, I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, DJ Danny.
Yeah, no problem. And I wish you so much luck in everything you do. I can't wait for the new Marvin Cruz in 2016
yeah.
with your musician album where you're going to do acoustic with your guitar.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to throw your other instruments in there as well? Like maybe piano
I was thinking about that, but maybe... Thinking of doing something kind of like John Mayer-ish, like doing something very like acoustic. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to steer away from that.
I think we have a caller before I was about to end the show.
Hello.
Or they might have
hung up. You're calling the DJ Danny show. You want to talk to Marvin Cruz?
Here comes the fun part. You have a caller.
Nice.
Hello, you're on the DJ Danny Show. Might I ask who's calling and where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay, and did you want to speak to Marvin Cruz?
Sure.
This is me. How you doing there, Massachusetts? Thank you for calling.
Yeah, pretty good, man. What's going on?
And I'm over here wrapping up the interview. I had a really great time, and thank you for listening, actually. It's pretty cool that you're all the way out there in Massachusetts while we're here in Jersey.
Did you have a question for Marvin?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was here at Mass School, so.
Did you have a question for Marvin?
Yes, how's the beat coming along?
Oh, yeah, they're going pretty good, actually. Thank you for asking. I've been working, probably made about 200 beats this summer. What's your name?
Cool, man. And what about Charles? And you're going to Seattle, right?
Yeah, so what's your name? Thank you very much for calling and asking some questions.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Yeah.
Have a great night.
All right.
That was a great caller.
Thank you, Massachusetts.
I wish they had a name, but you know what? It's totally fine. Sometimes they don't want to give their name away, which is totally fine. They gave their location away, which is good too. So that's really good. But oh my goodness gracious, that was really good. See, you got a caller.
Yes, I'm very happy about that.
They wanted to know how your beats were going and everything.
They're going great. I'm trying as best as I can to do my best work, take more time.
When is the approximate time that you will think that you will release your album once you get done with it?
Probably, I'll say an exaggeration, I guess, the end of 2016. I want to find a new label for this album, so it should be interesting.
And you're going to go with what kind of inspirations? Everyone you
definitely Jim Morrison, definitely Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead, and some John Mayer mixed in there.
Well, thank you so much for being on DJ Danny Show. I had so much fun.
Thank you. Me too.
Always be positive, because you know what helps more than anything in the world. Before I end the show, I have to mention one more time that Hamilton Radio will be broadcasting at Friendly's on Washington Boulevard, Robbinsville, New Jersey, for Monday nights for karaoke night. Bring your kids out every Monday from 6 to 8. If you sing, you get a ticket, which takes $4 off your kids' meal. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. My guest next week is Shane Kippel from Degrassi. Have a great night.